Good morning, my friends. How are we doing this beautiful day? I laugh because I'm looking at the group and I'm saying there's not a lot of people here. And last week I said the same thing, and then during the first hymn everybody came in. So I never know what to do. But okay, so here's what we're going to do. I got a few announcements as we get started. First of all, for our outside people, we welcome to all our outside people and all our Zoom people. I just want to help the people outside understand why we have screens at sometimes and not others, and you know, different screens and everything. And basically, it's because we're trying to protect the really expensive equipment we bought. And so the TV we don't put out unless it's above freezing. Is we figured that's a good line. If it gets below freezing, we put a projector, or sometimes we won't have any screen outside. It just depends upon the weather. Also, for our outside folks, when we get to the communion part of our service, I ask that anybody who wishes to take communion or have communion brought to your car, please turn on your hazard lights and then shut them off after you receive communion so that we can keep track of who still needs to be communed. In other announcements for today, we have a blood drive today from 9 o'clock to 1 o'clock and from 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And as far as it's done by appointment, generally, but there are some empty spots. So, if you go to bloodcenter.org, you can probably still sign up if there's any spots left. And there are also going to be spots tomorrow. I'm giving blood tomorrow. It's just easier for me. So works out better. All right, so that, and the blood drive is in the gym, just so you know. All right, very good. I think that's all the announcements I have for now. So let us begin this worship service this morning as we come into our Lord's, our Father's house, and as we are prepared to receive his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his love, his instruction. Let us begin remembering the day that he brought us into his kingdom in the gift of baptism. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today. We thank you so much that you have brought us into your family, Lord, that you have blessed us, Lord, with every good gift, have brought us into a new year, Lord, and it's a new year with a lot of challenges. I pray that you would continue to help us, encourage us, give us wisdom, Lord, and compassion as we continue to live as your people. Lord, we pray that you would be here among us. Give us the strength that we need, Lord. Give us the instruction we need. Give us all that we need so that we can live as your people in this world and bring glory to you, Lord, because of all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for all this. In your name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our sins. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess to you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Because of this, we run for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated as we sing.
Blessed be your name when it
First scripture reading for today is Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given to me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. His intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. All right, it is now time for the children's message. So if Brian Falls, one of our trusty elders, would come forward. Oh, here he is.
I know I've got my crew of children. I don't see any other children out there, but maybe some in the cars. For the children's message today, I got the help of a really fancy, complicated contraption here. Does that look really fancy and complicated? No. What is it?
It's a box.
It's just a regular old plain box. That's right. So do you think there's anything inside of the box? Do you want to shake? Don't look inside, but shake it. Yeah. Is there anything? Sadie, do you want to try? Is there anything in that box? No. Okay. I'm not tricking them. There's really nothing inside of the box right now. But we could say that since there's nothing inside of the box contains darkness. Do you guys trust me that it's dark inside of this box? Yeah. I thought about trying to rig up a camera or something, but Andy's already really busy with all the cameras and technology. But if we had a camera inside of here, it wouldn't show us anything anyway because it's dark. The second reading today for the sermon, it talks about lightness and darkness. Yeah, you guys can sit down. And lightness and darkness comes up in the Bible a lot. And so a lot of times we hear God and Jesus is described as light, or maybe the light of the world. And then sin and evil is described as darkness. And I'll open it up in just a second. One of the neatest things that I think light and darkness shows us is that darkness cannot overpower the light.
No,
it can't.
Sun is God.
Yes, the sun is like God, shining on us always, giving us everything we need. So, let's do a little experiment just to prove it, okay? So, let's open up this box, and we decided it has nothing in it but darkness, right? Okay. Nothing in this box except for darkness.
But then when we open up, it'll stream with light.
Well, let's get there first. Let's open it up. Do you think we can overpower the light with the darkness? Do you think by letting the darkness out of this box, it's going to make us all dark in here?
No.
Okay,
the only way to make it dark in here is to have a big thunder.
Yeah, nope. Is it still light in here?
Yeah.
Now, what happened to the light? It came into the box, right? The darkness didn't come out of the box. Okay, so let's do another experiment just to see what happens. Okay, because I brought a little fancier contraption. It's a flashlight. So now, what if
a bike flashlight.
It is for biking at night, that's right. So now it's on. It is very bright. I'm going to try not to blind anybody. We're going to put it in the box. We're going to try to seal the box up as much as possible.
And it's still white.
Yeah, you can still see. It's trying to come out through the cracks, right? And now we're going to have Mr. Jason turn out the lights in here. So Jason, can you hit the lights? Okay, it's going to get fairly dark.
Yeah.
But now, what do you think will happen when we let the light out of the box?
It's going to be quiet.
Oh, look at that. Can everybody see us up here now? Because
we can make shadow puppets.
Yeah, we can make shadow puppets, that's right. So, when the light is in the box, it comes out and lights up the whole room. But the darkness won't make the whole room dark. Okay, Jason, you can turn the lights back on, please. So what does this teach us about God? It teaches us
about light and darkness.
That the darkness will never overtake the light.
And the light will always win.
The light will always win, yeah. It's just like in Star Wars, the light side beats the dark side, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no matter what. Mr. Denning. Yes, that's right.
No matter what our brains think, God will always win.
Yes. So the last thing I want you to think about, this is what I want you to take home with you, is that when Jesus was in the tomb and that stone rolled in front of the tomb, was it light or dark inside
dark.
Of it? It was very dark inside of that tomb.
But Jesus was overpowering the dark still.
So what happened on that third day? He rose from that grave, and the light emerged from the grave, and
it was holy light.
It was holy light, that's right. We'll have you do the children's message next time. So, why don't you pray after me? Just repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for being the light of the world.
Thank you for being the light of the world.
Remind us always
that darkness never wins.
Amen. The devil's trying to win, you're right, but nope. So you guys can go to little worship if you want. It looks like Oscar and Miss Lauren are back there.
Now it is time for little worship. So if you got any kiddos that want to go to little worship, you can meet Joni in the middle, in the center aisle there with the white cross. And the rest of us are going to open God's word right here, right now. So we're going to Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Here it is. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the people. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip. You will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you, and the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your lands, young camels of Midian and Ephah. And all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. All right. Now, this seems like a really uplifting passage. I really kind of am digging this. I mean, it's all very positive stuff in here, right? It kind of goes like this, though. When I was a kid, my mom's not here today, so I can tell stories on her. Like my dad does whenever he preaches on me. Anyway, but the thing is that my mom, when I was a kid, she would always come and wake us up. And the way she liked to wake us up was singing. And you know, I've got one son who is always my buddy who woke up early with me, and now he's 19, so he doesn't. I keep hoping that he'll convert back again to be an early riser, but up until right now, no such luck. But my mom was an early riser, and she really liked us to be an early riser. And when I was 19, I wasn't. And so she would come in and wake us up, and she would wake us up by singing. And she would come in, and she would sing. What did she sing? Rise and shine and give God the glory, glory, rise. And she would do that. Okay, let me tell you what. When you're tired, you stayed up too late, and you're not feeling that great in the morning, right? And she's poking at you and pulling on your blankets. It's hard to be mad at my mom, though, because she's so small and she's so cute and she's so perky and fun. But I tried, okay? I tried to be annoyed with her at least. It was not, the thing is this, that's not an easy time. It's sort of along the lines of when somebody's really upset and you tell them, settle down, which has never ever worked, ever, right? And so the thing is this, Isaiah is telling the children of Israel, arise and shine, for your light has come. Okay, except that verse 2 is right here next. It says, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over all the people. Okay, so what does that tell you? Is this a great time for rising and shining? Well, let's look back a little bit, because there's context for this to give us an understanding of what that darkness is that we're talking about. And so to do that, the best place to go is the chapter right before, which is chapter 59 of Isaiah. And the beginning of the chapter 59 starts at verse 2. It says, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sin has your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt, your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. Okay, who messed up? You. Who's this talking to? You've done all these things, right? And you say, wait a minute, I'm a good person. I haven't done any of these things. I don't mutter lies, and I don't have blood on my hands. I haven't killed anybody, right? Remember the whole Sermon on the Mount? When Jesus says, if you've even despised your brother, which means if you've put something else at a higher value than him, you have already committed murder. So tell me, you got blood on your hands? Are your fingers guilty? What have you done with your hands? Anything wrong? If so, guess who the problem is? Me. Yeah, right? You can't blame me. You have to blame yourself. But nevertheless, yeah, we're the problem. And it's really kind of a sad thing when we realize, hey, look, you know, there's darkness in this world. And where does the problem begin for me? In me. That's where the problem begins. I am the problem. I am the one who is dragging sin around. I am the one who's corrupt right to the inside of myself. I am the problem, right? And then we go on, because we're not done yet. They say, oh, here we go. Now we're going to talk about other people. All right, you ready for this? See if this sounds like anything that you've seen or heard lately. All right. Their deeds are evil deeds, and acts of violence are in their hands. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence marks their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their path. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks among them will know peace. That kind of hit close to home lately, hadn't it? So we got us that's the problem. And then we got a bunch of people who are the problem, right? Because, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of darkness out there. And then we have all the other, the problems with even being able to speak truth. So justice is driven back, and righteousness stands at a distance. Truth has stumbled in the streets. Honesty cannot enter. Truth is nowhere to be found, and whoever shuns evil becomes prey. Sound familiar? Okay, here's what I'm getting at here, guys. This isn't the first time that we've been in a situation like this. You know what I'm saying? This Bible that we read, it is written for this world and this life. People have been here before. And this book is designed to get us through these really difficult times. All right? And so the question is, well, how is that going to help? I mean, how is it going to get us through these difficult times? So the children of Israel had these days when things were really bad. They had days when they had horrendously bad government. They had days when they had when the people were immoral. They had days when good was called bad and bad was called good. They had days when things were just absolutely not at all. The people weren't even worshiping the right God anymore and didn't even feel guilty about it. I mean, there were really bad days in the children of Israel. And the thing is that the more you study it and the more you look around, the more you realize we're kind of there. And the question is, how does God help us get through these days? And the answer is, look forward. Arise and shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Who's this written to? God's people. Are you one of them? Yeah. And so here's the thing. You can look at life and judge the quality of your life and how things are going and how secure you can be and what kind of a life God has given you on the basis of what you see in the world and what you see on the news. Or you can judge your life and what God has given you on the basis of what you see in Scripture. And the question is this: what is more real, what God says or what you see? Remember how God created the world? Right? He said, let there be light, and reality conformed to his expectations. God's words are kind of powerful. Right? Jesus was walking along the road, and a guy's laying there, and he's crippled. And Jesus says, get up and walk. And the guy, God's words are a little bit different. And so when God says, listen, the glory of the Lord is rising upon you, has risen upon you. And then it says, look ahead. The children of Israel were going through a really bad time. You knew this, right? I mean, we've been talking about this for a while. This is all like when the northern kingdom was going into, was being wiped out, the ten lost tribes of Israel, because Assyria came down and took them all into captivity and spread them around and intermarried them intentionally to wipe out their national identity. They had no ethnic identity anymore because they'd been intermarried with everybody else. And the southern kingdom was continuing to slip lower and lower and lower into sin. And Isaiah was just prophesying his heart out, telling the people, warning them, don't do this. Don't go down that road. If you go down that road, here's what's going to happen. Please turn around. He was just, repent, repent, repent. Don't go that way. And the people would not listen. And so Isaiah's message was, things are going to get really bad. But then he also gave the children of Israel that hope. And he said, listen, don't live for today. Live for the day when everything is going to get restored. You're going to go into captivity. You're going to be there for 70 years. Don't fight it. That's where God's taking you. But live for the day when everything is going to be restored. And the day came. Nehemiah came and rebuilt the temple, and they rebuilt the walls, and the place was restored. And God tells us the same thing today. Guys, listen. This is dark days. No question about it. These are going to be, this might hurt a little bit. But we're not living for today. We're living for forever. Guys, we got a God who, when we were lost in sin, sacrificed himself and made it possible for us to spend eternity with him. Okay, he didn't just like do something from afar. He didn't like just mail in a check. He got actively involved, came to earth, became man, suffered and died in your place so that you could be in heaven forever. He's kind of committed to this plan. All right? And this is the same God who, this is the same Jesus who, when he was ascending into heaven, told his disciples, I am going to prepare a place for you. Right? So what's Jesus doing for us right now? Preparing a place for us, right? He also said something else. He said, I will be with you always. Okay, does a God who sacrificed himself and took the pain and suffering of paying for your sin, a God that's that committed and that crazy in love with you, is that God going to forget about you now? Is that God going to ever leave you alone? And the thing is that we have his promise, which is his word, which is better than any promise because it causes it to be real when he says it. It's crazy stuff. And he said, I will be with you always. And he says, call on me on the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Does that mean he's going to make all of our problems go away? Absolutely not. That is not what that means. What that means is this. Either he'll make your problems go away or he will walk through those problems with you. He will give you everything you need. Again, why do we come to God? We come to God because we need to be served. We need him. We need his strength. We need his focus. We need his wisdom. We need his power. We need all of that. And he loves us so much that he makes all that possible for us. And so, guys, listen, I'm not going to candy coat it. The world's crazy. I mean, it's straight up nuts. But we have a God that is bigger than the world. We have a God who is here before the world and who will be here after the world. We have a God who is so crazy in love with us that he literally did whatever it took to make sure that we could be in heaven with him forever. And he is not going to leave us behind. He is not going to forget about us. He is absolutely motivated by his passionate love for us. And because of that, we can focus. We deal with the stuff in this world. We do his work. We do the hard work of being Christian men and women in this world, Christian citizens, Christian parents, Christian children, Christian employees, Christian employers. We are going to live this life stubbornly Christian because that is what God has made us, and that is what we want to return praise to Him. We want to give back to Him for all He has given us, not to earn anything, but because it's already ours. But we have hope because we know that after all the crazy is over, well, during the crazy, He'll be with us. During the crazy, He'll give us strength. During the crazy, we get his body and blood to nourish us and keep us strong, that we can always look back to baptism and know exactly who we belong to, because in the baptism, He put His name on us. And we know we're not alone today, but here's the thing. We know that in the end, we win. And there's nothing that takes that away. Government can tax a lot of stuff, but it can't take away your forgiveness. It can't take away your salvation. It can't take away your faith. You know, the people who are trolling you on Facebook or on Twitter or whatever else, if they want to start, you know, saying horrible things about you, they can do that. They can mess up your reputation. But guess what? They can't take away heaven. And as bad, as crazy as this life is, not to say this life isn't a crazy, amazing gift too, but it is. Interesting lately, as crazy as this life is, it's nothing compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us. Nothing compared. We get to spend eternity with the perfect God in the perfect place, in His presence, when we ourselves are perfect, so we will be able to appreciate all that perfectly. You want to know how we get through the hard times? We get through the hard times by focusing on the future and remembering that the day is coming. And it's exactly why John ends Scripture by saying, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for making us Your people. Thank You for giving us that incredible vision of salvation that is certain and true because of what You have done for us and the faith that You have given us. Lord, I pray that You would continue to help us, continue to give us strength, continue to hold us close to Yourself, Lord, so that we can continue in this faith until our end. Thank You, Lord, for all of this. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends, it is now time for us to continue our worship by singing about our Father's love, how deep the Father's love for us.
Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice.
Let us now confess our faith using the words of the explanation of the first article of the Apostles' Creed. Please stand as we confess. I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body and soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. He also gives me clothing and shoes, food and drink, house and home, spouse and children, land, animals, and all I have. He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. He defends me against all danger, guards and protects me from all evil. All this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. For all this, it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him. This is most certainly true. All right, folks, and as we pray today, we want to keep those in our congregation who are struggling with so many things, but especially sicknesses. My mom and dad, Bill and Tammy Liebman, Darwin Krause, who also has COVID now, Bessie Dykeman, who just had shoulder surgery, Don Barker, who's he's still struggling with that exhaustion that he has, and I'm forgetting somebody. Forgive me. I'm forgetting somebody, but that's okay. Well, let's just pray for everybody who can, you know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would continue to be with each and every one of us, Lord. You have called us into your church. You have given us faith. You have credited us the righteousness of your Son so that we can spend eternity with you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to live out our lives in a way that would bring you glory, that through the decisions we make, Lord, through the work that we do, that you would get the credit, that you would be glorified, Lord, and that your message of incredible love and salvation would be made known to more people so that more people, Lord, can have the opportunity for your Spirit's work. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the members of our congregation, Lord, our brothers and sisters in the faith who are struggling during this year with so many things, everything from financial struggles, Lord, to employment, to physical sicknesses, and Lord, I pray that you would be with all of them. Continue to give them strength. Continue to help send us and give us opportunities to encourage them and to remind them of your love and of our care. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all the ministries of St. Mark's, Lord, that you would be with our teachers, the students, our families, the church members of the and all the different efforts that we are doing, Lord, in our church, in our community, and throughout the world, Lord, so that your people can receive the love and care that you want to give them through us. All these things, Lord, we come before you and we thank you. Oh, we also pray for our country. We pray for peace. We pray for wisdom in our leaders. We pray that you would continue to bless our country, Lord, and help us as we go through another messy transition. Lord, all these things we come to you and we pray, and we pray the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me." As is our custom, those who are serving us are invited to come forward to receive communion first. The rest of you, I encourage you to use the questions on the screen to examine yourselves so that this meal can be received the way God wants it to be. Please be seated and then come forward as the ushers indicate.
nothing worth more that could ever come close. Nothing can compare your unending love, your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the
let
Body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the strength and the forgiveness that he gives us in this gift, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let us sing the final song of praise to our Lord.
Like the ocean, deeper than
My dear friends, it's been wonderful worshiping with you folks this morning. We have an incredible God that serves us in so many ways and then gives us the opportunity to serve him by serving each other. And so that is just an amazing opportunity we have and an amazing amazing God we have. Folks, I already said the blood drive, right? It's going to be until, when is it? 9 to 1. Okay, we got a little bit longer. And then tomorrow is 2 to 6. So if you can't get in today, you can always come back tomorrow. With that, I think that's everything we have for you today. I will see you in the back as you guys leave. God's blessings on your day.